It sure has. Before I get into the message, I'd like to ask, Mark and Claire and Bowden, and Larry and Peggy Gronwald, Brian and Stacy Berker, and Devin and Amber Merriman, tonight at 5:30, if we can meet in this room right here, okay? And if you would meet me there, I'd really appreciate that. All right, John chapter number 10. I've been praying about what the Lord would have me to bring in these weeks to come, and as I began to study in the 23rd Psalm, God led me to this chapter, and I'm going to spend a week or so in this chapter, maybe 2 or 3 weeks in chapter 10. This is kind of the flip end of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we look at the shepherd, and in John chapter 10, we look at the sheep. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about our shepherd as he shepherds the sheep. What do you know about John chapter 10? I'm sure you've read it. Do you know what prompted Jesus to give this discourse on the Good Shepherd? Why he spoke to us and gave this, really, it's a lot of monologue. Now, there is some dialogue that takes place, but he gives us these teachings on the shepherd because of something that happened in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, and we'll not revisit it in totality, but I just want to give you a little backdrop here on why Jesus said that he was the good shepherd. In John chapter 9, there was a man that was born blind. And Jesus touched his eyes. He put spittle and dirt and made clay and touched his eyes. He said, I want you to go wash in Siloam. And he said, I want you to go wash. And the man received his sight. And when he received his sight, the religious crowd during that day, the Pharisees and the scribes who they were hardened people. They were people who had gotten far away from what God wanted as far as the teachings of his word to the people, to the house of Israel. And they had become very, very foreign in their approach to the message of God to the people. And so they were certainly against Christ, and they were always looking for fault in him, and they didn't approve of hardly anything, if anything, that he'd done. Of course, what Jesus did when he healed this blind man, he did it on the Sabbath. And they were there to, of course, criticize and to find fault. And they looked this man up and they said, tell us, you know, what this man did. And he said, well, he gave me my sight back. And they said, oh, there's no way that happened. How could a man that was born blind receive a sight? And he said, look. And they just kept, listen, you read this sometime. And they kept pressing this man and pressing this guy. They actually went to his parents. And I find it interesting, if you look just for a moment in John chapter number 9, I find it interesting in verse number 22, the scripture says these words, that when these religious people went to his parents, they said, look, this man's of age. He's our son, but he's of age. You want to talk about what happened? Go talk to him. And it says, here's why they done this. These words in verse 22 spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. I mean, these people were, listen, these people were brutal. As a matter of fact, when they did go to this man, and he told them, look, I can't, they were just questioning him. I mean, they were putting him through an interrogation. And he finally just said, look, I just know that I was blind. And now I see. Amen. I really can't go into detail, or I can't give you all the reasoning behind. It's kind of like trying to explain to somebody what salvation is. I just know that I was this way, and now I'm this way. Amen. The blood of Jesus has been applied to my life, and I was an old creature, now I'm a new creature. Amen. The old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. My life's different. And if you need more than that, I don't know what to tell you. Amen. Except for he'll do the same for you. And that's basically what this man told them. Look, if you would, in verse number 34 of chapter number 9. In verse number 34 of chapter number 9, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? You know, who do you think you are? Notice what it says after that. And they cast him out. Now this right here, it's why Jesus began this discourse in John chapter 10. Because at the end of John chapter 10, in verse number 40, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" That's a great question to ask. Are we blind also? These religious people were saying, you know, we thought we were safe. But after hearing and seeing what's going on here, we're not so sure. Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." You've got to realize you have a need before your need can be met. Amen? You've got to realize you're blind before you'll ever want to see. You've got to realize you're a sinner before you'll ever want to be saved. And then he said in John chapter 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," who asked the question? Right? Those of you who asked, "Are we blind also?" See, sometimes, I sure do appreciate chapter divisions, and I sure do appreciate verses. I do. Because that way we can identify Scripture. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll think that those chapter breaks, that they change direction, or they change conversation. This is fluid right here. This is fluid. Just goes right on into chapter 10. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.'" And we get into some things here about our good shepherd. Every sheep needs the shepherd. I'm going to say this again. Every sheep needs the shepherd. Every sheep. See, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, when God in the Word is referring to his children, not his creation, and you say, "Well, you know, we're all the children of God." No, we're not. No, we're not. You become a child of God by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, we're all the creation of God, but we're not all the children of God. You see, as a child of God, you can address God as our Father, and that's a wonderful way. What a wonderful relationship between father and child. But this relationship that Jesus is drawing here is not between father and child, it's between shepherd and sheep. So we're going to talk about that for a few weeks, okay? The relationship between shepherd and sheep. Every sheep needs the shepherd. I wonder if you know the good shepherd. I see in this chapter, chapter 10, three pictures that Jesus draws of himself, and I want to give them to you. We'll only address two this morning. First of all, he said, if you'll notice with me in John chapter number 10, in verse number 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." We're going to talk about that word "good." What does it mean when Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd"? And then I believe he says, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I am the true shepherd." I'm the true. That's what the word "good" we'll see in just a moment. I'm the true shepherd. He said, "There's none like me." As a matter of fact, in verse number 8, he said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." I'm the true shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. Then he said, "I'm the terrific shepherd." Look, if you would, in verse number 9 and 10. "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Can I tell you, that's terrific. Amen. That's terrific. And then he said, "Not only am I the true shepherd, the good shepherd, I am the terrific shepherd. I've come to give you life more abundantly." But he said, "I'm the triumphant shepherd." Notice, if you would, in verse number, we'll look at verse number 17. "Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Aren't you glad that Jesus willingly, voluntarily gave his life for the sheep? He said, "No man can take my life. I lay it down." And he said, "You know what? I also have the power to take it up," in verse number 18. "I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again." That is the triumphant shepherd. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the true shepherd and the terrific shepherd. You see, in our society, we live in an urban society. I was actually talking to our guest about how that our small rural areas are almost becoming metropolises in our day. It's amazing how big cities are growing into our rural areas and taking away a lot of rural life. Now, living in a kind of like an urban society, we know very little about shepherding sheep, especially in the United States. When Jesus was speaking to these people, you have to understand, these people, they a lot of them were shepherds, and they raised and they herded sheep. And so when he began to speak to them, he was not speaking like he would be in our society. He was speaking to people that were very, very much aware of what he was talking about. And they cued in and they honed in on what he was teaching and what he was saying. And so when he began to talk about sheepfolds and he began to talk about porters and he began to talk about the sheep and the shepherd, they were very much in tune with what he was teaching. And so I want to help us get the picture of what's happening here. So you have this group of people from Judaism, all right? And what they had done over the years is through these, especially during those 400 silent years between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, they had taken the law of God and they had made it so burdensome. And they had made so many rules of man and traditions of men that they were just burdening down the people. And they had self-appointed themselves as leaders over the people, and they were ruling and lording over the people. And so instead of being sovereign appointed shepherds, they were self-appointed shepherds, and they were, instead of being in it for God, they were in it for self. And they were power hungry. And so they began to rule over the people, and Jesus was not pleased with that at all. As a matter of fact, because of what happened in chapter number 9, remember what they did? They cast the man out. Remember that? How many of you say, yep, okay, raise your hands. I read that. I want you to look at chapter 10, verse 3, what the Bible says that Jesus does. It says in the latter part of verse number 3 of chapter 10, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and I like this, and leadeth them out. See, they cast him out, but Jesus led him out. See, Jesus leads. You lead from the front. Amen. You don't drive from behind. And Jesus said, that's what these false shepherds are doing. And so he said, I want to talk to you about the importance of knowing the good, the true shepherd. And so let's talk about that. Notice what he said here in verse number 11. He said, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I am the shepherd. And the emphasis is on good in this sentence. I am the shepherd, the good. I am the good shepherd. The word good means this. If you look in your Strong's Concordance sometime, you'll find it means genuine. I am the genuine shepherd. I am the beneficial shepherd. I am the valuable, I am the proper, I am the well-worthy shepherd. I am the true shepherd. I am the true shepherd. These others, they're thieves, they're robbers, they're wolves, they're strangers. He called them all of this in this dialogue here. He said, they're not the true shepherd, but I am the true shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I want you to notice in verse number 1, it said, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. You see that? Now, the sheepfold, you got to get this picture in your mind so you can understand why Jesus is saying what he's saying. It's going to pick up here in a moment, but I've got to lay this foundation for you to understand what he's talking about. A sheepfold was almost like a sheep hotel. And it was this place in a town that when shepherds were passing by with their flock, they would have a place to put their sheep overnight. Now, not just one shepherd. Many shepherds would bring their sheep and place them into the sheepfold. That's why Jesus said in verse number 16, and the people knew exactly what he was talking about. Look at verse 16. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. They're not in this fold. And so this sheepfold in verse number 1 was like a sheep hotel. And so when shepherds were passing through on their journey, in their travel, they would stop and they would place their sheep in there, and the porter would watch over the sheep with the shepherd. And then the next morning, as Jesus said right here, if you look in verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. It's time to move on now. We spent the night in the sheepfold. Now it's time to move on, and he called them by name, and they came to him, and he began to lead them on their journey. That's kind of where Psalm 23 picks up. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, all right? He leadeth me beside the still waters. So on this journey, they were in this fold. They spent the night there. The shepherd called them out by name, and then begins to take his sheep on a journey. You understand that, all right? And so he said, but in order to get the sheep from the sheepfold, it's got to be the shepherd that calls them. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, please notice that, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. See, the porter just doesn't open to anyone. And so listen, you had to be the shepherd of the sheep in order for the porter to recognize that you were the shepherd. Not only did the sheep recognize the shepherd, but the porter. Now some people believe that John the Baptist is a representation of the porter here. That may or may not be. We know that John the Baptist was the forerunner. As a matter of fact, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, hey, that's the one right there. Amen. That's him. Listen, he said, behold, right? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, that's him right there. I recognize him. He's fulfilled the prophecy. He's the one. So some people say, well, I believe this is a picture of John the Baptist. Maybe. But I personally believe that it's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God sanctioned, identified, approved from heaven, came down as a dove when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, came down and descended upon him. And from the voice from heaven, from God the Father, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And John the Baptist said, that's him, all right, because I heard the voice from heaven say, that's him, right? That's him. And so Jesus said, listen, there's these individuals that'll come and they'll try to steal these sheep that the shepherd owns. Now please get the picture here. Can I tell you that the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into our own way. Don't you miss this part. And the Lord hath laid on him, not them, on him, the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. See, Jesus wants to be the shepherd of all the sheep. And my question this morning is, do you know the shepherd? Every sheep needs a shepherd. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. And we're traveling. And every sheep needs a shepherd. The sheep will not make it in the journey without the good shepherd. Because sheep are prone to wonder. Prone to wonder. Listen to it again. All we like sheep have gone astray. Kind of sounds like wandering sheep. Not only are we wandering sheep, we are stubborn sheep. We have turned everyone into his own way. Right? Remember Luke 15? When Jesus gave the parable of the sheep, the 90 and 9, he said there was 100. And he said that there was 90 and 9 because one wandered away. But he said, you know what? I think that sheep's going to come on back. I'm going to stay here with the 90 and 9 and wait for that sheep to come back. That's not what happened. Because he knows that sheep needs a shepherd. All the sheep need a shepherd. I'm here to tell you this morning that every person needs the shepherd. Don't you go through life without the shepherd. Life can get hard and cruel, brethren. Listen, life will break you down. Life will get you lost. You'll get lost and you won't be able to find your way home without the shepherd. But thank God for the shepherd, amen. This morning, I just want to brag a little bit on my shepherd. The good shepherd, the true shepherd, The one that the porter knows. The one, notice again in verse number 3, where the Bible says the porter openeth to him. It's to him that the porter says, this is the one right here. Can I tell you, when I told you this morning, and many of you said, hey, this is when I was saved, there was something in my heart that let me know that that presentation that was given to me, the gospel of Jesus Christ, something just let me know, and it wasn't something, it was someone. The Holy Spirit of God let me know, this is it right here. This is what you've been searching for. This is what you've been needing in your life. I needed fulfillment. I needed forgiveness, and I'm glad that I found it in Jesus Christ. Because the porter said, let him in. Let him in. Now, I want you to notice it not only speaks about the entrance. It said, verily, verily, verse number 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not. Verse number 2 says, but he that entereth. It speaks about his entrance. But it also speaks about his acceptance. Notice it, to him, verse number 3, to him the porter openeth. Acceptance. Jesus Christ fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy about his first coming that there was to be fulfilled. And it was in the fullness of the time that God sent forth his Son. God did it. He was the God-appointed one, brethren. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But preacher, what about this one and that one and these and those? All that came before me, look at it now, verse number 8. All that ever came before me, your thieves and robbers, don't you listen to them. Don't you listen to them, he said. Don't you listen. Jesus said, I am the way, later on in this gospel. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he said, I am the true shepherd. I trust that you realize that today. He's the true shepherd. There's none like him, brethren. There's none like him. Jesus is not some phony. He's not some counterfeit. He fulfilled every prophecy about his coming. The time of his coming. The place of his coming. Born in Bethlehem. The way of his coming. Born of a virgin. His name should be called Emmanuel. God with us. He fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies about his first coming. Only Jesus Christ did that. And therefore, he can make the claim, I am the true shepherd. I challenge you, look that word good up, and it will open up an avenue to you that will help you to understand that by being good, it doesn't mean favorable, even though he is favorable. It means beneficial. It means genuine. It means the true one. Jesus is the true shepherd. Now let's get to the real meat and crux of the matter here this morning, okay? Look, if you would, in verse number 6. After Jesus gave them this short little discourse here about the thieves and the robbers and the porter and the shepherd and the sheep, and the sheep following him. He said in verse number 5, he said, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And he said, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which they were of which he spake unto them. They still unclear. These religious people, these Pharisees, that said, are we blind also? They were still unclear. By this time, I believe in my heart that many had gathered around and they was wanting to hear this. It was very interesting to them. And so the Bible says in verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them again, don't miss this, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, it's almost like he said, once you get, if you're going to get out of that sheepfold, you got to come through the door. And so he's kind of got this different scene in mind, and I want you to get this. It's a temporary. Don't lose me here. It's this temporary. As you're traveling, the shepherds didn't have the rocks to build the more permanent sheepfolds, and they had to kind of ad lib a little bit. And so they would take sometimes brush, or they would take things, and they would build like a three-sided enclosure. And they would put the sheep in there, and then they would lay across the front of it as the protector. They'd put the sheep in, and they would lay there. No wolf's going to get in without the shepherd. He not only protected the predators from getting in, but he protected the sheep from getting out. You say, well, I think I'm going to get lost again. I don't think that's possible. It's absolutely impossible, as a matter of fact, when you read this chapter. We'll talk about that later on. Because, you see, he's the door. He's not only the way in, but if you'll notice in verse number 9, he's the way out. That's right. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So he's not only the true shepherd, he's the terrific shepherd. You know what the word terrific means? The word terrific comes from the word which we get our word terrible from, which is more of a negative connotation in our day. But in Bible times, it simply meant awesome. He's awesome. Do you know this awesome shepherd? Can I tell you when David in Psalm 23, being a shepherd himself, said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was saying, he's awesome. And he begins to tell all these awesome things that his shepherd does in his life. Have you experienced that? Are you excited to be a sheep of this shepherd, the true shepherd? Are you excited? If you're not, you should be. What do you know about this terrific shepherd? Notice what Jesus said about himself as the terrific shepherd. He said in verse number 9, I am the door. By me. I cannot overemphasize that. By me. He's the only way. It's not the church. It's not the preacher. It's not the Baptist. It's not the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Catholic, the Lutherans, the Episcopalian. Amen. By me. By me, by me, if any man, I'm glad it said any man, look at it again, by me, if any man, well, it has to be the elect preacher, by me, if any man, well, it's got to be those that are predestined, by me, if any man, amen, amen. By me, that's exclusive, if any man, that's all inclusive, amen. By me, if any man. We could just park right there and praise God. I praise God that I've made my way to him. And I praise God that he included me in whosoever will. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Now Jesus said, I'm the door. So here's some things. I'm going to give you three things and I'll be done this morning. There's three things that the terrific shepherd does for the sheep. And I find it right here in these scriptures. The first thing he does, in verse number 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. The terrific shepherd, this true shepherd, saves the sheep. The word saved means delivered, rescued, redeemed. He saves the sheep. I read some time ago, and I've been telling it to you as a church when I quote these scriptures. I read some time ago, and I mean, it just caused fire to raise up in my bosom. Where there was a group of preachers that got together, and they said, you know, we're kind of tired of this old antiquated word called saved. And we think we're going to replace it because we don't like that word. It sounds too personal, and it sounds like it's just too... what was the word they used? Sensitive. We don't want anyone to think that, you know, they might be lost. Well, my friend, what in the world do you think we are before we get saved? We're lost. We need to be saved. If we don't get saved, we're going to die in our sin and go to hell. What do you mean? We don't want to be too insensitive. I say away with this sensitivity stuff. Away with this Wilkins culture. And let's get some truth out there. Saved is a good word. Saved is a Bible word. Jesus said, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be a part of me, if you want to get out of the fix you're in, you need to get saved. I am so glad when those folks came to my home on that October night that they didn't start talking to me about some jibber-jabber and some educational using these big words. They used that little old word, saved. They said, son, what you need is you need to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Saved is a good Bible word.
Amen.
It's used right here. John 10:9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Amen.
John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's that talking about, preacher? Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved.
Amen.
Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, he was so frightful and he was scared and under conviction and he didn't know what was going to happen. And he asked the most important question someone could ever ask. He said, sirs, what must I do to get religion? No. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house.
Amen. Amen.
Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart. That God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
In verse 13 of that same chapter it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be saved. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, he said, for the preaching of the word of God unto them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved.
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says that it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the good shepherd saves the sheep. My question to you this morning is, do you have a shepherd? Or are you just a sheep wandering aimlessly, trying to find your way through life and through this journey without the shepherd? I'm telling you, you'll wander around with no aim, no purpose, no fold, no flock, until you get under the care of this terrific shepherd that I tell you about this morning. The terrific shepherd saves the sheep.
Amen.
Did you know that the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 10 that in the end times, and I believe we're there, brethren, I do, that folks will not believe the love of the truth that they might be saved. What a cry from the Holy Spirit of God through the church to a lost and dying world. Believe the love of the truth that you might be saved. It's your only hope. It's your only hope is to be saved. So, this terrific shepherd, he saves. He saves. You say, preacher, I wish I knew how to be saved. You've talked a lot about saved and I need to be saved. Well, let me just show you how you can be saved. I want you to watch the preacher now. You say, if I could quote the books of the Bible, maybe I could be saved. Or if I knew some theology or I knew some Bible things, that maybe I could be saved. If I went to church, maybe I could be saved. I know the folks over here can't see, but this is a door right here. You're on this side of the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man should enter in. Here it is right here, brother. Just open the door. Just open the door and go through it. Folks try to make this so hard, and like you got to pray through, and you got to pray for weeks and months, and you got to meet all this criteria and put together all these papers and these studies. No, what you've got to do is realize you're a sinner, and that Jesus has put a door before you, and you have to, of your own volition, listen, he'll not open the door for you. He said, I'm the door. But he said, now by me, if any man shall enter in, you've got to go in that door. Turn that knob and walk through that door, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're just trying to make it so hard, you know. Well, you know, we got to watch them. We got to spy on them. We got to watch them to make sure they really meant it. Well, now listen, I don't know if you really meant it or not. I know this, if you did, if you trusted Christ by faith, you're saved.
Amen.
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 God, help me never to complicate things that God has made simple. God, help me never to do that. I don't ever want to do that. And so, number one, this terrific shepherd that I present to you this morning, this awesome Savior, saves the sheep. Number two, he satisfies the sheep. Look at the latter part of verse number 9. Once you get saved, it says you can go in and out and find pasture. You see that word pasture? It means nourishment. It means grazing. It means feeding. You can go in and out and find pasture. You know, I think that's kind of that green pasture that David was speaking of. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
Amen. Just lush. See, the shepherd is the one that provides the pastures. The sheep don't go find the pastures for grazing, the waters for drinking. The shepherd does. The shepherd does a long life journey. And so he said, he satisfies. You go in and out and find pasture. You know what, I got to thinking about this week, that in and out. And I want you to think with me just for a moment. In and out. In and out. Sounds like freedom to me. See, once you get saved, a lot of people tell you, oh, well, now you're saved now. You've got to live by this list of rules. What? No, you've got a teacher now that you're saved. He lives inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to govern your life, and he's going to teach you and lead you into all truth. Is that what the book says, brethren?
Amen.
Amen. Gives you freedom. Now, my heart is broken. I've talked to three people this week who was in the clutches of sin. Now, there's dozens of people. But when I hear about people that are in the clutches of sin, sin's got them. Now, I want you to listen to me. Sin will deceive you. You know what sin will tell me and sin will tell you? You say, no, wait a minute, preacher, I'm saved. I know that. Thank God for it. You should have been shouting hallelujah when I was talking about being saved. If you're saved, you ought to praise God for that.
Amen.
Now that you're saved, you can go in and out. What's that? That's liberty. That's freedom. But you know what the devil will tell you? You know what sin will tell you? Oh, you don't have to. Boy, I tell you right now, you get in that Bible and you get in that church, you get in that Baptist church, you know, get down there at them folks and they'll put restrictions on you and they'll put you in bondage. That's what sin and Satan will tell you. What you need to do is you need to do your own thing. I'm going to tell you about doing your own thing. It won't be long before your own thing will be doing you. I'm going to say that again. See, sin comes to you and says, what you need is a little freedom. You need to break out from that church crowd and that church group. What you need to do is your own thing. But it won't be before long that your own thing will be doing you. Because that sin had told you was freedom and liberty will become bondage. And you will be enslaved to sin. Jesus said, whosoever committed sin, the same is a slave to sin. Don't you think you can sin and have liberty and freedom? It'll bind you. Listen, it'll wrap you. It'll restrict you. It'll bind you up. It'll enslave you. It'll put you in bondage. Oh, the deception of sin, brethren. Sin, sin, sin will take your liberty in Christ away. Paul wrote to those Galatians and he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It was those law-abiding, those folks trying to put them back under the law, taking their liberty. Paul said, no, 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 no. Stand fast in the liberty which you have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Go in and out and get you some pasture. Amen. Go in and out, feed and graze on the lush, fruitful, nourishing fields of the Lord. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said in verse number 10, the thief cometh. He said, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life. Can I tell you that I am living a life worth the living? Man, I am living the good life, Brother David. Pastor David's been preaching on Sunday night. He was preaching through the Beatitudes. He's preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And there in the Beatitudes, he talked about the good life. Brethren, do we who are saved, do we have the good life or what?
Amen.
Man, this is good. Say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you ought to get in and get some of this. Say, man, this is good stuff. If you're, listen, if you're saved and you're not experiencing the good life, there's a disconnect that you need to get fixed. It's unnatural. It's unnatural for sheep of the terrific shepherd not to be satisfied. So number one, the terrific shepherd. Number one. This terrific shepherd saves his sheep, but he satisfies his sheep. You say, preacher, I believe you, but I'd like some examples. In your mind, this is where we're going to close this morning. We'll pick up with that third part next week. But I want in our minds for us to take just a little trip back to Psalm 23. Not in your Bible, in your mind. Can you recall that psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Think about that for a minute. How can you say that, David? Because he's terrific. In what way? Well, he meets all my physical needs. He does. Yeah, he anoints my head with oil. Remember that? He anointeth my head with oil. He heals and he gives me health. He meets my needs. I'm not lacking anything in life. Why? Because my shepherd is the terrific shepherd. He not only meets all my physical needs, he meets all my emotional needs. Right? He gives me peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When I get a little anxious about things and I get careful and I get worrisome about things, he just takes me and makes me. He spreads the green pastures and says, just rest right there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside, not the rushing and the boisterous waters, the still waters. He meets my emotional needs. There's no need to fret and to fear and to worry. You have a terrific shepherd. Let him lead you. Let your shepherd lead you. Don't you get out in front now. You might find a place that you don't need to be feeding at. You might find a watering hole that you don't need to be drinking from. Let him make you to lay down. Lead you beside those still waters. The emotional needs. Amen. The spiritual needs. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Right? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, I should say, for his name's sake. Is that what the book says, brethren? See, he satisfies us this way. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that my terrific shepherd meets every need I've ever had. If I'm not getting my needs met, it's only because I'm not withdrawing from the vast supply of resources that he has provided. Is that right, church? I'm talking to the church of God right now. Is that right? As believers, as those that have trusted in this true and terrific shepherd, I can stand before God and man and say that my terrific shepherd has met every need that I have And I can say with full assurance, I shall not want. My physical needs are met. My emotional needs are met. My spiritual needs are met. My eternal needs are met. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. For thou art with me. I don't have to face death alone. I read sometimes where it says, they died alone in their home. Not if they were saved, they didn't. Amen. Not if they were saved. For thou art with me. All of this in heaven too. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know this terrific shepherd? You see, I'm telling you, every sheep needs the shepherd. Every sheep. Have you let him lead you out of the fold into the flock? It's my place and every preacher's place to feed the flock of God. We're part of the flock. Read Acts chapter 20. Paul spoke about the church of God and he spoke about the flock. I'm glad I've come out of the fold and I've entered the flock. I've come out of the fold that has wandered astray and gone their own way. Now I'm a part of the flock that follows this true and terrific shepherd. How about you? How about you? Does it get any better than this, preacher? Well, I got to tell you something. It's pretty good. But it's going to get better. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you get that? Say, preacher, I'm having a bad day. Goodness and mercy is following you, friend. Preacher, I got some dark days. I've got surgery coming up. I have this coming up. I see some dark days on the horizon. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Listen carefully. All the days of my life. All of them. All of them. Don't lose that. Keep that tucked away right here. All the days of my life, goodness and mercy. Draw from it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And then, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All this in heaven too. Bless His holy name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.